Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, jumping in at the top of the episode to let you know that we are doing live shows in Melbourne as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Sundays at the Coopers Inn, we got April 7, April 14, and April 21.
Pretty easy to remember.
That's grade six maths, baby. Exactly. The seven times table.
Six?
Cooper's Inn. We're going to do live shows there that are not going to be recorded. It's not podcast. It is similar to podcast, more like a dumb video games chat show, I guess. Got some guests coming in.
That's the thing. You want your guests for being live and large.
Yeah. We have one guest booked in. The guests we have in mind, fucking sick live performers. You will not want to miss them.
Not in mind as in like, what if we could get Siegfried and Roy?
No.
Like we
if you look back through our catalogue of guests, some of the best
familiar
and funniest
faces.
Ones. Yeah, absolutely.
Some funny folks who will be on stage with us doing, like Tommy or Ben said, live only shows.
Yes.
So come along if you want to have any part of them. Or you can come to all three for a discounted price on those tickets as well.
That's right.
Comedyfestival.com.au or I guess just on our website. Or where there'll be a link in the description as well.
Yeah,
have a look and see which date or dates you might like to come to, and we'd love to see you there.
Speaking of dates, why don't you bring one?
Hey, bring Ooh. 10.
Whoa,
hey. Pretty great for us.
Yeah.
You might get in trouble yourself if we see people Mrs. Doubtfiring around having to change costumes to be with different dates.
That'll be the show.
Yeah,
we'll get everyone to watch.
We'll point it out.
If just like four polycules could buy some tickets, then we'd be sorted for the season.
We're
great.
Done.
I'd love to do some fashion reports or just some. Hey, come in a costume. We've got a bunch of shit to give away that we've accumulated over the years.
Yes,
so
that's true.
Maybe we'll do some stuff like that.
If the sound of us throwing our shit at you doesn't appeal to you, then I don't know what will. Yeah, they'll be fun. Come along. See you there.
Okay. The reason you caught my eye was that you got a math degree from Harvard,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
You've run marathons. You are. Correct. You went to medical school. You're correct. A successful plastic surgeon.
Correct.
Why break the record in Donkey Kong?
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dassler, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, and joining us, rounding out the trio, it's a man holding an iced coffee.
That's me. I love coffee. I've got such a big personality. I'm a coffee fan.
Oh no! This is for a anyone second, watching on the video.
A second iced coffee has entered the podcast.
Yeah, we got some iced coffees today. It's a warm day in Melbourne.
Yeah,
and there's nothing to make you feel weirder on a warm day than a coffee that'll make you jittery.
Yeah,
with some ice that'll make you shivery.
I hate the condensation effect that you get on the outside of the iced coffee.
I've got
ripping everywhere.
Little droplets fucking all over me.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I'm a goddamn leaf in the morning.
If like Tommy or myself, you're wearing a light colored pant.
Oh yeah.
You could be in danger of appearing to have pissed yourself.
Well, that's why I got this, is so I can piss myself and be like, haha, boys, it was the iced coffee dripped all over me.
You're wearing fashion report, you're wearing shorts.
Are they both wearing the same
pants?
Would
you say?
Well, they're not a top.
You've got the Zookeeper's special.
Yeah, the Bob Irwin.
Yeah.
I associate the Irwin brand with Bob now, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, enough time has passed. It's been nearly 20 years since the big man left us for the great zoo in the sky.
Mm.
Imagine he gets up there, there's no animals.
Oh, yeah, they're in their own heaven.
They get their own heaven.
The dogs go to heaven.
They finally get to be left alone.
Yeah.
This is a new style of short for me. I can't be bothered getting up to display it for the camera, but the built-in belt that's like the sort of...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I
didn't know you
like a little strappy sort of thing.
Oh, for God's sakes. All right, here I go. This kind of arrangement.
Yeah. That's your penis.
Yeah.
Strap sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like a hiking short kind of situation.
Like a sleeping bag.
Yeah. It's good. Built-in nice. Belt. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm into it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My pants came with a hidden cost of needing a belt. Well, they don't need a belt. These would stay up around my belly anyway. I'd be fine.
I'm into a drawstring in all kinds of pant. Although these don't have them because I think they're technically board shorts. Oh no, they do. They do have a drawstring. I remember. I can feel it.
Do you think there was a guy like you know that like now? I was just telling you guys off air. I bought a new iPhone the other day, mm-hmm. and of course now you're getting the cord. We'll give you the cord.
Oh, sure.
You know, we've changed the port. The least we can do is chuck the cord in.
Yeah.
Do you think you're getting the little wall attachment?
No.
Absolutely not.
Ooh. First two little pigs these days, no brick.
Yeah. Do you think you should be able to charge the phone out of the box? No siree, Bob. Mm. But do you think there was a guy like back in, I don't know, like the 50s being like, you get these fucking jeans, then you got to go and get a belt. That's how they get you. They don't. You just got to keep stacking up all the optional extras. Mm.
This belt doesn't even work in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. Wait a minute. That elastic stuff that's in other kinds of clothes?
Yeah.
Let's chuck that in the
waistband. Does anyone have a Samsung belt?
Yeah.
No? Okay. The US belt doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The guy at the store tried to, like, get me to pivot over to, I think, Samsung because he was like, now you'll need the, you know, you will need the wall bit as well. And I was like, that's fine. I was going to buy another charger anyway. And he's like, but you know, the chargers for the Samsung phones, they're $20 cheaper. And I'm like, I'm not pivoting into a whole new ecosystem just to save $20 on the charger. Yeah. That's insane.
You can also just use those chargers with any phone.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm an iPhone user. I don't care about saving money. That is clearly 100%. Not important to
well,
me.
Well, with your new phone, have you or will you try
Death Stranding?
Or dealer's choice, Resident Evil 8 or 4 remake or... Yep.
I would be tempted if they, like if I could just get them as part of like my Apple Arcade or whatever, I would probably download them and give them a go. But I assume I have to pay a
full
price? $80, $90
I'm
download.
Not sure what they cost. I think it's a bit cheaper than like a PS5 version or whatever. I think they're like $80 rather than like $110 or whatever.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, again, if I could transfer my save over from my existing versions
You're
of
dreaming.
Them, yeah. I'd be tempted to just like go in and have a little fuck around.
Well,
go
you should get this an fucking Xbox
exactly.
Boy,
you should
play
get an
anywhere.
Xbox and a Samsung.
No, yeah. iPhone and PlayStation. Play nowhere.
Yeah. And play nothing.
Play nothing, nowhere.
Yeah.
Hello Kitty Island Adventure and you'll be happy to get it.
Loading it up on my phone, flying to Japan next week and getting through only the first cutscene of Death Stranding by the time I land in the country.
Genuinely, would it be able... I don't know how quick it drains the battery, but iPhone's not famous for their fantastic battery life.
Mm.
There's like 3 hours of straight cutscene at the end of Death Stranding.
Mm.
Could you get through it all in one charge of a phone?
That's a good question.
I would love to know that.
I know when the phone came out, they did, you know, all the reviews. A lot of the reviews were focused on, because I think you could get Resident Evil 4 remake straight away. And I think the thing was, not a ton of battery life out of it, especially if you're not going the max.
Because that's the most intensive thing you can do on a screen, right? Is like big full video for extended periods of time.
And like the processing
the
of a game.
Yeah.
It's got to be up there.
Oh, it's up there.
It's up there and it's loving it.
Sitting there with my phone plugged into a power bank.
An off-brand
to keep it
charger
charged.
In the wall.
Yeah.
This
and
phone
then...
salesman did not inform you existed.
And then people can see it just in the little like pocket in front of me in the seat. I've got my Steam Deck there. Mm-hmm. And the screen's on and they can see that the little Death Stranding icon is on there.
Mm.
And just anyone who walks past being like, why is he doing?
What is
it on
he
the
doing?
Phone? He's got the.
This guy's a risk. Let's call the fucking.
What the fuck
air marshal.
Is going on here?
I would buy every game on the iPhone if I could. You know, with like the Do Not Disturb stuff now, it can send a little notification to somebody if they've sent you a text message being like, I'm busy.
Yeah.
If I could set it to be like, currently gaming, I would only play things on the iPhone. Gone fishing.
Yeah, yeah. I might do that anyway. I'm
just
not gaming.
Manually reply to everybody.
I'm trying to get the bridge network back up and running. Thanks very much. Mm. Is that what it's called?
The Chiral Network?
Chiral Network.
The bridge
Bridges is the company and the name.
Yeah.
Chiral Network, great name for a thing.
Oh,
He is. I guess it's like this is a translation thing, but like genius at naming shit.
Mm.
I think that's always been the cat, like Foxhound.
Absolutely,
was a fantastic name.
Metal Gear Solid. It's so confusing, but it's a brilliant sounding name.
I love that the the thing for Metal Gear Solid is that there was Metal Gear, fantastic, and then 3D made it look solid, so it's called Metal Gear Solid. And that's genius naming.
And I guess when you work back...
I do genuinely love it.
Metal Gear makes sense. It's gears are metal.
Yeah, it's a big robot tank.
Yeah.
It's a Metal Gear.
Yeah, I love
that.
Police, yuck. ACAB. Yeah. Police, noughts. Yeah. All right.
My name's Otacon for multiple games because I go to otaku conventions.
Oh, yes.
The genius himself.
He's the reverse JK Rowling where all her names are just like what the thing is.
Or like some sort of like, oh boy, this will be racist.
Right, yeah.
We'll realize this is racist one day.
It's all stereotypes, whether it's an item or a person, whereas his are like, it barely makes sense and that's why it's so beautiful.
Other than like, he's got a flamboyant vampire, that's vamp.
Yeah.
You gotta have like one miss amongst the hits.
She's lucky, she's fortune.
No,
that's still great.
Yeah, that's good.
No, it's the parallel is like the banks run by little goblins, and in Hideo's world it's like she's nude because she breathes through her skin.
Yeah.
They've all got
In world, you can't argue with my logic here.
Yeah, nor would I want to in the real world. It's what I like to see.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's it. It's like your fantasy worlds become so rich and fun to be in because you are a punish to be around in real life.
Punish snake.
I realized I had never talked about this while talking about hardware. I bought a new case for my PC.
Oh, brother.
Which means I had to, for the first time in my life, fully disassemble and reassemble a PC.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I was terrified. I thought something was going to fuck up. I'd had issues like when I'd replaced the graphics card in it of like just hitting the BIOS screen and being like, all right, don't know what to do, reset, it's going back there again. I'm happy to report it's all working beautiful.
Oh, baby.
Why'd you do it and what to?
I wanted a white one.
Yep.
So it's purely aesthetic.
Yep.
Although this one has extra cooling fans. It came with three in the thing and then I transplanted my like old system one.
Yep.
It's a thermal take. It's a little bit more compact than the one I had, which again, I like. I don't have, you know, my desk is in my living room in a corner, so it's all a bit less obtrusive.
I like that name as well. Anytime I've got like a big opinion about something, I've got a thermal take on it.
Thermal take. That's why my Reddit account keeps getting banned. I have to just give thermal takes.
Thermal takes.
But if anyone needs, a PC disassembled or reassembled, I'm your man. Call me up.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Standing there looking at it go to the bar screen being like, maybe if I do the same thing again.
Maybe if I turn it off and on again.
I had a very low rent version of that.
Mm.
I got our friend Gibby to come around and help me install an SSD that I bought.
Oh, yeah.
And he got the cables for me that I needed and he came around and we got in there. We found we didn't have another cable that we needed. So I ordered one of them and did the rest of it myself because he kind of showed me what to do. But it was very funny because he opened it up. And shout out to the fellow that listens who built both of our PCs, Rob Smelbin.
Yes.
Gibby was very impressed by the cable management that was going on within the case.
Yeah,
but,
very tidy.
He was like, wow, he's really, really neat and tidy management in here. He says this as he's like just pulling shit out and tangling it all up again. So
like a cartoon dust cloud around
yeah.
him. Cats flying out.
Yeah. So I don't think I'd ever fully appreciate what a neat job he had done. But thank you and
good
night. It's now been completely fucked up by our friend Gibby.
I've never built a PC. I want to do it one day.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I and it's satisfying. It's mostly like really simple these days. It's all just like plug and play. And I just took photos of my old one, you know, all the connections and shit and tried to replicate it. And
there's a million YouTube. Sorry, I get really emotional thinking about how far we've come.
Yeah, the resources are there now.
YouTube videos.
Yeah.
It is so overwhelming because when I opened it up to try and do it myself, immediately without, you know, knowing what you look like, being a complete layman with it, you look in there and it's like, oh my god, like have I broken this already by just taking the lid off? Like,
yeah,
there's bits everywhere. There's a lot of empty space in there as well, which you're like,
I've looked at it a few times because like probably not soon, but within the next couple of years I'll just like get a new computer.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And I reckon I might do that that time.
What's the like upgrade, you know, like how...
The lifespan sort
of
thing.
Yeah. How long are you getting out of your... If you get like a top of the line...
If you get a top of the line one, you'll last 7-8 years. Yeah. Easy, okay. I would say. At least like if you're focusing on games, like at least a console generation, surely. Yeah, probably longer if you're willing to step down in settings for a while. Like,
right. Yeah,
people are only just feeling like they're sort of being... moved out of like the 1070, 1080 kind of era, which is like 2017, 18, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
16 well, even.
I feel like...
15, 14?
13.
Could have been any time.
12, 11, 10. I feel like I got mine...
9876543211. I had to finish the sequence.
5 or 6 years ago? Yeah. But then... Oh, and it's a real like Ship of Theseus thing where I've replaced the graphics card. Mm. I've added like... a bunch more RAM. I've bought and added an SSD and now I've changed the case. So it's not actually the same computer anymore.
Right,
I have got a new computer.
Well, I believe that it is.
Well, okay then. There's no debate to be had here.
Yeah, does Theseus still own the ship? Then it's his ship, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm playing Infinite Wealth on there on the highest settings and it's running beautifully. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, I know that's not the most intensely graphical game, but... I hadn't really dipped in on anything on the PC in a little while. And so having that up on the max settings, I'm like, yeah, this will do me.
Yes.
Well, fine. I'll tell you something I've been looking at playing on there on the PS5 is it's gotten big. Helldivers 2 has taken off in a big way to the point where there are too many players and they did not expect it to get anywhere near this many and they don't have the capacity to have this many people on the server at once. The I think CEO of the one of either the developer or the publisher or something said... very recently, like maybe wait on buying it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like don't. What are they dive like? Axiom?
Yeah, I saw like a tweet this morning. Yeah, because they've. I guess it'll be per region. Probably they've had to limit it to 450,000.
They had it spec'd or whatever. They projected that they would sell and have around 50,000 players.
Right.
And yeah, they've gotten 6 to 8 times that.
Yeah.
Concurrently, consistently, people can't get on. And yeah, but like it, people are real positive on that game and it seems cool.
Mm.
I'd like to give it a go one day.
I never played the first one, but yeah, I kind of, again, but I never really realized that the first one was as popular as it was.
I don't know if the first one was that popular is the thing. It did fine, is my understanding of it, but it was sort of like a top-down shooter and a different style to this one.
What I've heard about this one is that there's a real like Starship Troopers parody, like satire, you know, hoorah, you're in the Marines,
cool.
Like fake ads and fake, you know, like, would you like to know more? Like it's got all of that sort of aesthetic to it. So,
it'd probably be a good one to give a go as a group.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, stop asking us because we can't get on the servers anyway if we want to.
True.
We will eventually, but right
now... the CEO
now,
told like us to wait, Knox.
Yeah. Oh, and I will capitulate to anything a CEO says. Woolworths is not a monopoly.
Obviously, content creators are exempt from me saying this. If you're making it for a video, we'll make some room on the server for you.
Yeah.
We'll boot off some 13-year-olds so that you guys can get in and make a little video.
Yeah, the elites. The elites are allowed to play. Yeah.
The intelligentsia.
Helldivers 2 may be a game. Watch this.
Okay.
Just watch me. I'm up the top of the diving board.
Watch this drive.
It's the Segway diving board. And I'm about to pull off the perfect spin.
Famously, Babe Ruth, the diver, would call his dive ahead of time.
Yeah, he'd stand on the end and point down into the water.
My hands, pull pocket. I've forgotten it.
There's like 3 things on the whiteboard.
Oh, yeah. Helldiver.
You got a 30% chance of landing.
Sorry, the segue.
I got so invested in my pool fantasy.
A little fat Babe Ruth in a full, you know, like woolen baseball outfit.
Yep.
Regular size Babe Ruth even.
And he's just horseying it now. He's not even trying to do an impressive dive.
The pitch has already thrown 3 perfect strikes because he's been just pointing in the outfield.
Waving to the crowd.
Helldivers 2, the trailer for that may have had the thing at the start where the guy goes, Peggy, 18.
Oh, yeah.
You know that guy?
Yeah.
He started a TikTok account. Richard Wells is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And the news story that people picked up was him like just sort of casually mentioning as a fun fact. And they've been doing it like, I've seen headlines that are like indignant about it, but this is how it is that he got paid about 200 euros, whatever many years ago, to say Peggy 18.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how that shit works.
No, obviously no royalties. It's yeah. not like oh, a...
You mean they're not getting him back in for every new trailer that they yeah. make?
No, yeah. like Gretel Colleen doesn't make money every time the tram stops. I think she did the voices what? For that.
Oh.
I might be thinking of the Telstra actually tone of like the number you have dialed.
Oh, right.
I know Gretel Colleen did some voice huh. thing for one okay. of those things.
But he... It's funny because if you film an ad, you get paid for it. But then yeah. if they decide to use it for longer, you get a rollover.
Totally. Yeah.
So it probably just speaks to he wasn't as thorough with his contract back in the day as he probably should have been.
Did it for like the ratings board as a perpetual. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like it's not like the Columbia ladies getting paid every time a movie's shown.
It's
yeah.
it's more weird that he's so well
and
known.
She's real.
I think that the same with like the guy who did the. EA Sports.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's up my ass or whatever childish version of it I could yeah. say.
Yes.
Probably a similar story. Like a lot of those sorts of things just work.
I like remember that that trailer for the Jerry Seinfeld comedian movie where he had the trailer voice guy of that era.
Yeah, once
doing the
upon a time.
In a world.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Like any I love when those when people work out who that person is.
Yeah.
And then they become very public facing.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's like him getting paid 200 euros. I agree. Like his voice has been heard so much, but that's what unions are for, baby.
Yeah. yeah.
That's how come people get residuals.
Get on Cameo, like bitch.
This. Yeah. He's yeah. got to join the
You've
European
turned 18.
Union.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, exactly.
birthday celebrations.
Yeah. That's yeah. his stipulation. He's like, I'm on here. I am only going to do things that are like 18th birthdays yeah. or
there has
you're retiring
to be a number.
After 18 years. It has to be 18.
Just
I can't
18.
Do any
18th
other number.
Anniversary. Yeah.
Well, because otherwise if I just
you go
say...
the ivory anniversary, the wood anniversary, the Peggy anniversary.
yeah.
And that is a very fun one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things really start to spice
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah. Or it's got to be for someone called Peggy.
Oh, sure.
Because if he just gets on there and he goes, happy 30th birthday, Robert, then people yeah. are going to be like, this doesn't sound like the fucking guy at all. People are going to complain.
Peggy or like anything else, King of the, like if you want him to go like, that boy ain't right or whatever, yeah. Peggy was in King of the
Now we're really widening
Bobby.
The scope.
Bobby, 18.
Now I'm up to the top of the diving board, slipping around up there.
Yeah, everyone's at the bottom like, get down, get
no,
down.
No, I've got more.
It is funny, like I remember the era of like trailers starting to show up online and it would always be the American trailer and like as an audience here seeing the like, you know, the R, like the restricted.
Yeah.
Like just seeing the like
T
overseas. Yeah. It's so funny that we're so tapped in on what the European rating system is.
Right.
Just because like most trailers that you watch now for games have that baked in at the start.
Well, we had a lot of, I mean, I think everyone around our
age. Mr. Summers, it's G for general.
that
PG.
Well, we had that one that was at the start of every video that was like the people in the video store.
Oh, yes. The families.
I think everyone at our age remembers
the egg-sucking gutter trash.
Yeah.
There was a clip from Back to the Future as one of the things. They would go through and it was a family standing there.
Yeah.
And they
was
would,
this-
like, over time cover the eyes of the increasingly older members of the family.
Yeah.
G for all of them, PG, M, and then MA. And then the R-rated one was like some sexy scene and the wife like slaps the husband.
The
right
dad's loving it.
Yeah.
And the
He's
wife's
fully
like,
erect.
Come on, get your head out of the gutter.
We're in a civic video.
Yeah.
So it's like a 5-minute skit that would play at the start of videos that, and this is the funny, the very patronizing thing of just like explaining what ratings are.
Right.
Like it's written there on the cover. It's like parental guidance recommended. The idea that you need to sit through this informative video about what is okay to rent and watch with your family.
Yeah, and like you'd have hired Requiem for a Dream for your fucking 6-year-old and then been like, oh, they should be watching Bugs Bunny.
Right, I thought the R was for Requiem. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought R meant ready, set, watch.
We need to do a recut of that ad where the end, the R bit, is just you put in, you dub over ass to ass, and it's like the husband being like, oh yeah.
Whoa. Like getting freaked out. A movie that will have a rating soon. God damn, he's having the dive of his life.
If it doesn't already.
This is the third flip he's done in a row.
Borderlands.
Yeah.
Did you see the pictures of it?
I saw the poster.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, there's a couple of pictures.
Oh.
Like screen.
Like, yeah, right.
Screen grabs.
Like one of them.
Some JPEGs.
Is like some of the cast. I recognized Kate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, and there was definitely someone else I recognized in there.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Jamie Lee Curtis was exactly who it was, looking down like a sewer drain. And then another one of just Kate Blanchett on her own, looking great. I think, like, they've weirdly, Borderlands is not something I thought I would be interested in at all as a film.
But now hot Kate Blanchett's in it. You're like, daddy have a little taste.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go to the video store alone for this one.
Do you think it was having to conduct the orchestra to play the Monster Hunter music in time? You know what? Maybe I'll get into gaming.
Yeah, it's but more that just they found a way to make that silly looking aesthetic work well with just real people,
images. Like a cartoony Mad Max sort of vibe.
It's all cel shaded in the game, obviously. And that sort of stylized look can be difficult to make look good on, especially something like Borderlands that is so regularly like a cosplay thing and whatever. When they do stuff like that, sort of like the Dungeons and Dragons movie or whatever, it can look weird and sort of
Costume shoppy
a little. When you're so used to it in that context.
That was the One Piece live action thing. Looked like a fantasy camp.
Yeah,
cosplay.
But the great Jack Black's in this.
Yeah, Tommy. Is he the robot?
I think he is. Yes,
right.
Yes,
right.
He's Claptrap.
That's out in August.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't have thought I'd be like open-minded about it. I've grown.
I'm curious to say it.
I'm sort of off it purely because I don't really like the games, but then I think if the games didn't exist and this movie was just made and I, you know, saw these images, I'd be like, oh, this looks like it could be a bit of fun.
Great cast.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Kevin Hart I'm not huge on, but then, like, I didn't mind him in the Jumanji.
Sure.
You know, he's playing his role there.
Him and JB back together.
Yeah.
And it, like, a comedy action movie.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. Get Kevin Hart in.
Yeah.
Kate Blanchett's been funny and stuff.
And
Jamie Lee Curtis is good in comedies.
I was thinking, like, Kate Blanchett's, she was in bloody that Thor movie. Like, she's not completely opposed to doing, like, silly stuff and was good in that Thor movie. So, yeah.
She's an Aussie and we're all just larrikins at heart, aren't we?
Our Kate.
Our
what do you
Kate.
Mean, our? I hate it when people say that.
Greatest living actor from Australia, Kate Blanchett?
Ooh,
brother.
Toni Collette's really good.
Toni Collette is great.
I'm a Kidman fan as well. I like Nicole Kidman.
Russell Crowe's had some points where he's okay, but he wouldn't be in the conversation. Oh,
no.
That's true as well. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Our Russell.
And Naomi Watts is good. Hasn't had a bunch of hits, but like Mulholland Drive's an all-timer. Mm-hmm.
Margot Robbie's been good in some stuff. I think she'll do something one day that's like...
I agree. Which is
the sound I make for good.
What about Chris Hemsworth, guys?
What about Patrick Hemsworth? Who's the third
Liam.
One? No, there's a third one. Who's he?
Oh, I don't know.
Luke?
Adam?
Luke
there's
Hemsworth.
A Luke. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
What about Jacko?
I'd love to see
non-wacko it. Jacko.
Who are you talking about?
Hugh Jackman.
Oh. No.
Okay.
I feel like I feel like it's Kate or Tony.
Yeah.
God, I'd love to see them in something together.
What if Borderlands is the thing that pushes Kate Blanchett to the top?
Ooh, I doubt it.
What if?
I mean, for me, Tar puts her at the top.
Tar puts
her
right
up
there.
I agree. Toni Collette is fucking
sick. It's you're right, though. I could see, Margot getting to those heights. Margot, it's funny. Like, she's our Margot. Yeah. She's at that point where, like, the actors honored her with, like, the fucking Trailblazer Award or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Australian awards show.
Yeah.
Oh, the actors, as in the AACTA.
Yeah. And it's like, it's funny because she's like, she's Barbie, biggest movie of last year.
She's Barbie.
So she's... She's really up there, but I think she's still having to like, I'll come to Australia to accept this little fucking printed out certificate from a from an awards ceremony that it's on like Foxtel or something. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
why they do those categories in that award show too.
Sure.
It's like it's like when you see Robert Downey Jr. accepting a BAFTA and like, fuck does he have to do with the British award? But
more people will watch if we get Wolverine at walking the red carpet, so we'll give him the hooly dooly rinky didge lifetime
most outstanding
lifetime dollary do award. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by the great folks over there at NordVP. let me finish, N.
Nord, virtual private network if you're in a formal setting.
Mm.
The virtual private network being an internet utility that allows you to be safe and secure and a little adventurous on the internet by traveling the globe from the comfort of your own ass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, we're all subscribed to various streaming platforms, but those bloody platforms, they lock down that content by region. I'm paying my money for my goddamn streaming service.
You think I'm not interested in seeing what the Canadians are up to?
Yeah.
I want to know. I'm a man of the world.
I feel like there is a specific case. Twin Peaks is only on American Netflix.
Right.
But it is on American Netflix, and I want to watch that damn show.
I want to see what's going on Quibi.
Well, that's a separate conversation.
I have
to let you down easy.
a ton of different use cases for it. Mm. That one of which being that it's just a sensible thing in the increasingly dangerous waters of the internet ocean.
Secure your data.
It's a shark net.
The
scammers can't try and sell you fake tickets to Taylor Swift in Sydney if they think you're in Budapest.
That's not officially how it works.
Yeah.
You've still got to use common sense.
You don't get to log off completely.
But there's like web protection and some other stuff. Obviously, if you do business, it's a no-brainer to have. It's on a bunch of different platforms.
That's
very hardware easy to devices.
Set up. For content stuff, it works on Apple TVs now. It's on all sorts of things. You can set it up with the flick of a wrist, which...
if you're Indiana Jones, whipping it all.
Do some close-up magic.
We all use it and recommend it. And NordVPN is going to give you an offer for listening to this. If you go to nordvpn.com/filthy, I believe, you will get yourself 4 bonus months when you sign up for a pair of years.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, basically a big old discount. I love it. We love it.
It's just a useful thing to have. Yeah. And it's the best one that I've been able to find and research genuinely from before they sponsored this show. Have a look at nordvpn.com/filthy and get the internet working for you for a change.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
And hey, speaking of them shaving a little bit off that deal.
Oh,
I got something else that needs a bit of shaving.
What?
My grotesque forest of pubes.
From a big deal to a small deal. The small deal being Tommy, the big deal being that Manscaped will offer you their products, which, again, they're great. We've talked about them plenty of times, but if you've not heard the good word, they make personal grooming products that are, for my money, which is... you know, what? Take that for what it's worth, but they're best in class.
Totally. The
beard hair. Ear and nose hair.
Yeah.
Body hair.
Butthole and balls.
They're all going to be a thing of the future.
the gooch.
The past. Yeah, the gooch.
Well, I mean, in the future as well, they'll grow back.
Which is why you want reliable equipment to be able to deal with it.
The lawnmower 5.0.
Yeah.
It now comes with this attachment that is, it's more of like a curved, like, you know, those old style curved razors, like electric razors.
Yeah.
You know,
I like was picturing one? A scythe for too long.
Yeah, me too.
Well, they don't have that.
Grain.
But we,
and wheat, which is just also grain.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll email our ideas and again, get rejected. But yeah, there's a bunch of different attachments that come with it now, as well as just the sort of clip length sort of attachments. And yeah, I use my Manscaped products literally every day. And their battery life is fantastic.
Yep.
They also come with a little charger, obviously. The performance package, you get a bunch of stuff in a cool little bag.
Yep.
It's just really,
top
really
of the
good,
line
honestly.
Stuff.
It's hard to...
If you need a product to do this, these are the ones that you should probably get.
Yeah.
And when you're getting them over at manscaped.com, while you're checking out, if you use the code FILTHY, you get yourself 20% off and free shipping to boot.
Oh, baby.
Damn.
Or to wherever you live.
Yeah.
If you don't live in boot, you can get it to... Well, I don't know if it's anywhere.
That's what you call Italy, boot. but yeah, like I've received messages from friends who are like, so you guys actually... do you genuinely recommend this Manscaped stuff? I'm like, yeah, brother, get a little Manscaped. Use the code while you're at it. Why not?
Yeah.
20% off, free shipping. I'd use the code. That code being filthy over at Manscaped. You're welcome, Your Honor. Now back to my trial.
Shave that wig off.
Props to the media over. I've only just realized that I never saw anyone being like, throw a shrimp on the Barbie for.
Yeah.
During the Barbie Pro Bone, because Margot Robbie was in it. I never saw one. Mm. Congratulations to the media for that.
I wonder if they were like warned by the publicity not to.
Yeah.
But jeers to the media for continuing to only talk about Switch 2 rumors non-stop, which we'll do too.
Yeah, it's the main thing we talk about.
We started for the past with the 9 years.
This was a story that came from a Brazilian leaker.
Oh, yes.
Which normally I have to pay good money to see this kind of stuff.
Okay.
I didn't double check this stupidly and very funny. I didn't double check this, but I actually don't know if he's Brazilian or if his name is Brazil.
No, he was described as Brazil.
There might be another person called something Brazil, or it was just a poorly written thing. I just saw that somewhere. I think there might have been someone named like Mike Brazil who also...
Yeah,
I
feel like when I read about it, it was an article that was like... Now, keep in mind, this could just have been lost in translation because he's Brazilian.
Yeah,
I was like,
that
seems like a stretch.
There's every chance it's two people. There's every chance that I've misread something.
I think it is highly likely that there's a man with the name Brazil and that there also are Brazilian men in the world.
Yes. I'm big enough to accept that.
Yeah, okay.
But so the rumors that were around were multifaceted. So, okay, here's all the Nintendo stuff. Okay. They're doing a partner showcase this week. There's a Pokemon one as well. The rumors are that there'll be another, but a Nintendo Direct in like April. And then in June, they'll do the Switch 2 reveal and that the Switch 2 has been pushed back to 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
that
March
is coming from them having like told developers to hold off.
Right.
Yeah, the Brazilian guy, he leaked it and then
the guy named Brazil.
it was corroborated by a few different outlets that ran with the story, had heard the same thing from their sources.
It seems pretty true pretty... likely that it's because as well of software delays, first party software delays.
Yeah, they are wanting to get the lineup really finessed and ready to go out of the gates, which would make sense. It would seem weird to me to announce in June and then not release until March next year. That feels like a pretty big lead time from announcement to release.
It does, but it's not that dissimilar. Like the Switch was September to March, and it's 3 more months than that, or 4 more months than that, or whatever that is. But like, I guess like if they're delaying it through that, they'll already accept, well, we're taking the hit on sales of the Switch for the remainder of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about it. Yeah, maybe not June, but September. Certainly, like similar to the Switch, who knows?
It makes total sense, and I think it would be if this is true and the reason that it is because of wanting to have a really strong first party lineup polished right out of the gate, then I'm all for it. I think that's great, but I also kind of hope this isn't true because I'm sick of reading rumors every second week.
This was definitely the point where I was like, oh, we'll talk about this, and then I never want to think about it again until it's out.
So he was Brazilian, and his name is Pedro Henrique Luti Lipe.
Is there another guy called Mike Brazil?
Are you thinking of like a detective? I'm going to look up Mike Brazil.
Just
are you thinking of Mike in Brazil, the porn star?
I hope not.
That's the first thing that came up, Mike in Brazil.
I've never heard of him before, and... I swear, I might have gotten micro. Oh, listen. He's jumping off the diving board backwards.
Maybe this is how Switch 2 rumors start. It's just like someone backed into a corner and just to throw people off the scent. I'm just getting an email. I've just heard it's coming out next week.
the leaker's name is... who's another porn star? Buck Naked. That's a Seinfeld porn star.
Yeah, that's still a porn star.
What's that guy? James Dean.
Yeah,
but anyway, the idea that it's because of a software delay makes total Nintendo sense. I also saw people chatting about, and this seemed more speculative. There was a someone managed to like make one of those like flash cart things for the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
And that's freaked them out a little, and they're rethinking the hardware backwards compatibility stuff.
Oh.
Potentially as well. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was a consideration for them, because Nintendo has had issues with their hardware being pretty prone to piracy over the years.
And also being happy to not have backwards compatibility because of that exact reason.
I'd be very interested to see what their games for the rest of the year would end up looking like then.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, that is the big thing. If you don't at least announce, you know, maybe that would be the motivation for announcing in June, like giving that long lead time, is because otherwise, if you don't announce until September, October, if you do follow the same timing of the Switch announced to release, then you're just kind of swimming around for this year, which isn't, I mean, that is what tends to happen in the last year of a console anyway. You know, it becomes a pretty light on the ground. Like, you do have to kind of take that hit of like, you know.
Also, not a bad year to be in that position, because Sony said during the last week, we won't have any more existing franchise first-party games coming out until like April 2025 or something. So specifically meaning sequels to things we know about.
Yeah.
They could have and probably should have something a new IP come out. And there's the like Santa Monica, the God of War people are making a sci-fi thing is the rumor. Naughty Dog are doing something else before the next Last of Us. So maybe we see something like that.
But and they also between now and April for those guys specifically is like pretty quick turnaround.
Well, so there's a second team in Santa Monica who are meant to be the ones who have been working on the thing. So it'd be quick turnaround for like the God of War people, but like it would make sense that they've been doing that stuff in the background, and it just means like no Ghost of Tsushima 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But they also said they kind of also said, and we're sort of already starting to think about,
so this is the other stuff,
winding down this generation and getting on with the next one, which is sort of echoes you know, what Microsoft kind of said last week, that they're already thinking about hardware, which just feels crazy to me when in my head I feel like this gen has like barely gotten going properly yet.
Yeah. How many first party exclusives for the PlayStation 5?
That you can only play on the PS5?
Yeah.
As of right now, Ratchet. Technically zero. Because Ratchet you can play on the PC.
Oh, sure.
Demon's Souls Remake you can play on the PS3 because it's the same game. Like Final Fantasy 16 is coming to the PC.
Yep.
And name any others and it's the similar story with either the PS4 or the PC or whatever.
Well, if you discount the PC and you think about only
consoles. You're a console only.
Yeah, Ratchet, Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
And is that it?
I think Miles. Oh no, that probably had a PS4 version.
But that's it, right?
Yeah, Demon's Souls. If you discount the original,
But that's the thing. Like they are all on the PC anyway, so you can't discount it. It's crazy, and so many of their big ones had PS4 things. I agree. Mm. It does feel like strange because the other thing that is around is that November will be when like a PS5 Pro type thing will be coming out.
Yeah.
Lots of rumors of bizarre future shit that like. No one can afford it right now. It's not necessary yet. Mm. What are you doing?
Well, this is the other big part of that story where they said no new, no games until April.
No new friends.
thinking about the next gen. And a big part of, so the lead into that was them saying that they hadn't hit the numbers for the PS5 that they wanted to. They were behind on what they were wanting to sell of PS5s, which is crazy to say that and sort of be like, oh, we haven't hit our targets. And by the way, there's no games coming out and we're already thinking about moving on. So it's like, well, how do you expect that to get better when you're also then saying to people there's nothing to play on it and it's going to be obsolete pretty soon anyway?
And I'm not clear about how many of those targets were set like without consideration of the difficulty in hardware manufacturing and all that stuff. Like there was such a long time that a PS5 was pretty hard to get.
Yes.
People couldn't get them and they are still pretty inessential. Like as we're saying, there's very few and similar. This has been the weird thing of this week of that Microsoft thing and that having some sort of similar sentiments in it and this PlayStation thing. And before there was this Switch leak, it was kind of like, well, the door is wide open here for them to just be like, hey, here's our new thing. It's out in September.
Right.
And we got a great new, you know, like whatever they have to announce for it. But yeah, it's kind of a weird wheel spinning sort of year. I mean, still stuff coming out, but
yeah, exactly. Stuff that's third already party announced. Stuff,
but
yeah.
Yeah, just a strange position for all of them to be in.
Mm.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's not an interesting. I know there's stuff around like ray tracing and not every game can kind of hit 60 now and whatever, but like, I don't feel the same thing that was, even when the PS5 came around, it was less than it had been in the past of like a new console will mean a shift.
Oh yeah.
I'm yet to really play anything on there. Like Ratchet and Clank is really the only thing that I felt like really takes advantage of the hardware and felt pretty next gen to me. I guess Spider-Man 2, the like shifting between characters and that being
Demon's Souls had so the fast loading too.
Fast load. That's the one thing. That is the thing that you come to appreciate, especially when you got a similar sort of power level PC and you're like, oh yeah, I'm loving not having to wait, which you do instantly forget once you move past
definitely.
That previous.
But it's also
console.
Too like the, I mean, and this is just purely a personal matter of taste thing is that like, a big chunk of those exclusives have just not really hit the target for me in terms of like God of War. I bounced off pretty quick. Final Fantasy 16 didn't really hold me. I know that's just like personal, but yeah, like to think about, oh, you know, tech wise, what could they do with a new console? Like I'm still really yet to feel like I'm getting great benefits out of this. And it's the same with like Microsoft going, we're working on the new Xbox and it's going to be the most powerful thing that's ever existed. It's like, you've said that about this. How about like, giving us some good shit on this?
To play
like,
what? Halo? That wasn't that intensive? Yeah.
And like while we're saying all of that too, it does more than likely mean that if they do put out a PS6, and again, they said like the back half of its life or whatever, the second phase or some
right,
phase like that.
They're talking about, well, they're not talking about, but the PS5 Pro is the next thing and they want to, you know, make sure they get value from that.
If they're doing that, which it seems like they are, that'd be in between. It'd be like 27 or something that a PS6 would be out. But there's no reason to think it wouldn't be the same setup where like, well, you'd be fine with your PS5 for 3 or 4 years into that too, because everything will come out on
absolutely.
Both more than likely.
And the one thing I just double checked, it's sort of being measured against GTA 6 in terms of timeline. So PS5 Pro will come out, GTA 6 will come out. You won't need a PS5 Pro to play it though.
Well, that's the thing. The Pro, I remember when the PS4 Pro came out, it was it roughly around the time of Spider-Man 1? Like you kind of need to launch it sort of alongside something that's like, hey, the frame rate on this will be a little bit better. Like if they're saying there's no, we've got no, nothing coming out until April next year. If the rumor of the Pro is November, it's like, well, what's the thing that you're going, hey, this is going to look a little better?
Well, because the Pro stuff, my guess would be it's like ray tracing shit or whatever, which is like the PS5 can do a bit, but not as well as newer things.
Yeah.
And that, because the Pro versions, like the series, what the fuck was it? The One X, the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro.
Easy to remember.
Made a bit more sense at the time because 4K TVs had become commonplace in between the PS4 launching and the Pro version. So there was
that's true, and we have 8K TVs now and like only rich people own them.
And they just won't be adopted in the same way.
Yeah.
It's and so like there's not
4K
that
as a medium like discs and stuff also didn't really like we're past physical media as well, so
we're so into streaming now, which can't really deliver on all of those, like it doesn't reach the capabilities that TVs have in the way it delivers stuff. That
100%
you don't, there's not that same gap to fill that did kind of make more sense with those Pro ones.
Because
the PS4 and the Xbox One were kind of weak for where computers were up to at the time anyway. Yeah. You know, so like,
and you're also you know, they've alongside this they've just launched the PlayStation Portal, which, you know, is a thing that they're trying to get people to buy into, the hey, you can, you know, play this remotely. So obviously you're not reaching the highest standards of fidelity on a little small screen that's, you know, beaming the image from over your internet.
Two new sets of headphones alongside the one they already had. A VR headset that they haven't used still.
Yep.
Like there's someone at the fucking Sony hardware team who is just like going full belt, all cylinders, all through the night, functioning on some sort of I have to assume, a legal drug.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah, and VR a misguided thing. Impression that people will buy these.
Yeah.
It's bizarre when the video game industry and the world, but like the video game industry is what we're talking about, is like entering a recession point.
Yes.
It's strange to be, to not seem to be consolidating in the way that might make more sense to me, the smartest businessman in the world.
Well, you haven't lost billions of dollars.
Not billions, but as a percentage of what I've ever earned.
The VR2 thing is insane. To have said like basically nothing about it in an entire year.
And
is
to not have led with like, and you can't, this is not going to make you money, but to be like, this is a high level luxury, like this is for early adopters, and you know, like to just be like, yeah, hey, it's another one of those things that, you know, we sold heaps of last time and got everyone into VR. It is like the Quest Pro and the stuff like that, where it's like, this is for early adopters and
the
like
Apple
cutting
Vision
edge
Pro
tech
have
people.
Done a nice line and just being like, hey, this is for fucking assholes only.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Here I am.
Yeah.
But at least with that one, you can go, well, they need to do this as part of the process of getting it to a fourth generation.
Sure.
With like the Apple one.
Right. Yeah. And that's why you need early adopters and
stuff.
It's
the same with the iPhone. It was the same with the iPad. Like,
but
yeah.
That's very different to any sort of line into the future you can imagine with Sony with the VR2, where their line seems to end 4 days after it came out.
Yeah.
So, you know,
despite,
crazy.
Yeah, like they gave it a big state of play and they pumped it up. And like they certainly, I feel like, set an expectation that they haven't reached, which is
100%.
And they launched it with, you know, a cool VR version of one of their
first party
like IPs. Like,
Where are the
keep
fucking rest
out.
Of those?
Yeah.
I'm not excited by the prospect of like the pro versions of either of the consoles that exist right now.
Just don't seem necessary, yeah.
And I mean, watch me buy one, but like, I like the fucking Switch OLED was completely unnecessary, but had a noticeable improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you play it enough in handheld and your old one was getting long in the tooth, it was a worthwhile upgrade. Like,
it had been long enough, I feel like. This is like, as we've been saying, there isn't the software to justify an increased power in hardware.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the fact that they're as willing to talk about it as they are means that obviously they are setting up to actually do it, or they wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's a weird time to start setting those expectations because there's nothing to back it up.
Yeah.
But look, I really hope this Brazilian leaker is talking out of his cornhole and we get an announcement sooner rather than later, preferably while Ben and I are in Japan and we can head down there to those offices in Kyoto and try and do a bit of gotcha journalism, badger these people as they're on their way to work. Yeah.
Are you going to Japan? Because I think I read you're just going to see someone named Nigel Japan.
Yeah, that's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that this... I swear that I must have read an
article. Only one of those things can exist, so yeah.
I swear true. I read an article that said someone was named... It might not have been Mike, but someone Brazil.
Mr. Brazil.
I'm going to go looking for this.
Nigel Japan is a great name.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Japan.
Yeah.
I played a game made there.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
I actually don't know what studio did the...
Would you like me to look it up?
The actual development of this remake of the Game Boy Advance game Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Oh. Yeah, good point. I wonder how whether this was one of their
I think it was one of their ring-ins.
I don't think it's Grezzo.
I don't know who Grezzo is.
That's
Grezzo
made up.
Did the Link's Awakening and the Ocarina of Time 3DS and they've done all like the Zelda kind of
It's someone like that, I think, has done this one. Similar to Mario RPG.
Mm.
But this is a pretty straight up graphical upgrade with some new levels. I'm not sure which those are, personally.
I know it's the like the theme park one, the like the fun fair.
So it's a couple of the worlds or whatever.
And brand new.
So Mario versus Donkey Kong was like a sequel kind of to the Game Boy Donkey Kong game, which I fucking love.
Yeah, I'm playing through it at the moment. It's really good.
It's one of the best. It's way better than this one.
I wish they had just remade that.
I 100% agree. But the
it's
game
cool because it's the let's just do a quick review of 93 DK. I think
absolutely.
It's called in Japan. It's
94.
Mike in Brazil presents Donkey Kong. It starts you off, the first couple of levels are you're just doing like straight up OG arcade Donkey Kong.
Right.
And then it turns into this more fleshed out, going around different worlds and, yeah, puzzle platformer kind of having to get a key to open a door at the end of each level and turn on switches to activate platforms and all that kind of stuff.
It'll be a 2D puzzle screen that's set up like a platforming level, but the controls are very different to like a normal Mario game where you move a lot slower and more stiffly. You've got a couple of moves you can kind of do. Like there's a backflip and you can do like a handstand to then spring up on a second jump higher and stuff like that. But it doesn't feel like smooth and fluid like a Mario game. It is very set.
It's kind of, it's replicating the arcade kind of feel of how he moves.
Right.
And it's that Game Boy original has like beautiful animations in it for a Game Boy game. He's got like Donkey Kong at the start of the level. He kind of goes through the door and he's wiggling his little butt as he tries to like squeeze through. There's a really nice little thing as Mario, if you fall off enough of a height, not to kill you, but to just like, you know, it'll do this thing where it's like, hey, that's a little bit too high, but it'll do this thing where he's got this little animation where he's on the ground, his little legs out to the side, like twitching like a little injured dog.
Yeah. And really great level design in that Game Boy one, which I think is on the Switch Online set of Game Boy games.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Anyway, so this remake that's just come out is sort of a, not sequel, but it is a follow-on from that they did on the Game Boy Advance.
It is the same idea. And controls similarly. It is you get a world of like six levels, each of which will have kind of two stages. One where you have to go and grab a key and take it to a door that is on the level, and you'll be like trying to. There'll be switches where they'll change different colored platforms to exist or not,
right.
And like maybe you'll have to get like a little monkey who has a tail you can grab on to drop down a few layers so that they're on the right bit to get you over some spikes. Little puzzle things like that.
Okay.
That are very obvious
and
very straightforward and pretty simple and unchallenging in a way that makes the whole game a little boring.
Mm. Yeah, I'd never played the original of this and I'd sort of assumed that maybe it's, yeah, really beloved is why they were remaking it.
This one is not.
But then, even just going back and reading reviews of it from the time, even back then people are like, you know, and this came out on the Game Boy Advance, people were like, yeah, a bit easy. Right. bit of a breeze.
Right. We've moved past this.
And, yeah, they've put some, there's two new worlds in there and, you know, I kind of, giving people the benefit of the doubt and thinking like, well, why aren't they just making a new one? Maybe they feel like they didn't have the like creative juices in them. But then the new worlds that are in this are like the best stuff in there.
And then you finish the sort of first part of the game and then it unlocks like expert levels for that I haven't done all of those yet, but it goes through the same worlds again and gives you new better levels are more interesting and a little more difficult than
that's cool
but the first set of them, like I played through the whole like main chunk of it and it's just so unchallenging as to be a little boring, which it's not bad,
it's fun to play and it's like still kind of, you know, satisfying and get a little dopamine hit to get to the end of the level and you're getting through them, but it's.
And in amongst there's some bits where you're like, oh, that part was cool.
Yeah.
Because, you go through and do the key thing and then the second one you've just got to get to, like, these little Mario toys that are stuck in a bowl that Donkey Kong's stolen.
That makes perfect sense.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mario is the CEO of a Mario toy factory and Donkey Kong has stolen his merchandise. And so you're going, collecting all of them, then at the end of the set of six, you'll do one extra one that involves you kind of leading those little toys through a level to pick up
which is cool.
Letters. They work fine. And then a boss fight, all of which I hate. You'll fight Donkey Kong in a bunch of different levels and they all they're not fun.
Okay.
I don't mind them, but
I don't know what it is about them, but there's one or two especially that are just shit.
Sort of like, Bowser or Koopa Kid style where you're just like running around trying to bop him on the head or something.
No. Puzzle based. Like he'll hit switches, which... He's up on the top of the screen hitting a switch that'll give you a little barrel that then you have to pick up and sort of make your way.
Oh, sure.
You're chucking the barrel.
Chuck them at him.
Yeah, okay.
All that kind of stuff.
But they're just annoying. I didn't like those. And yeah, like.
I think there's, like, for me, a lot of it is, it's just in the way that they've done the remastering of it. Like, there's new little animated cutscenes, especially at the start. There's a little movie that was just like static screens in the original, which looks great. It's like really well animated.
And the look of the main game is nice enough. Like, it looks very like that just sort of clean, colorful, modern Nintendo presentation.
But that's what I mean. That to me is like, it's kind of bland and a bit uninteresting. And like even just like the level select screen is just a straight up menu. It's just like a list. Yeah. Like, I kind of, it would still have the issues of the low difficulty making it a bit uninteresting, but I kind of wish they'd done a bit of like a Link's Awakening style, like completely reimagine the visual style and you know, think of like a, make it like a little, you know, like a watercolor aesthetic, you know, just do something a bit, like go for it a bit more with the visuals.
It does feel like it's very much followed like some Nintendo style guide to the letter. It looks clean and nice, but it doesn't look interesting.
It's not bad. It's just all of it, all of the menus and everything are just really, they're just total cookie cutter. It seems like it took them about 3 seconds to come up with the visual design of like the level select screen and everything.
I don't like the music in it for presentation stuff. There's a couple of bits that have so it's all like this very jazzy soundtrack, a lot of which sounds bad.
Right.
It's just not
so
good.
It was, this remake was done by Nintendo Software Technology, which is Nintendo of America. All the like designers and stuff, these are all like Western names, I assume. These are all the American stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they
which mean like, it sounds like the new levels they made were good.
There's
but
decent
then,
new levels in there, and I love this format of game, but I think it is, a lot of it is, you just really feel like this format has come so far in this time, even with something like a Monument Valley or whatever. I would have, Captain Toad is a great example of like, that's probably a close comparison of like this style of game done brilliantly and brought into a newer context. Mm. Like I love this format of like, like paying homage to the original Donkey Kong game. But they could have done something pretty cool if they had done a new version of it. I know that's obviously like more work, or even just remake that 93 Donkey Kong game and give it a bit of an interesting coat of paint.
You're right. It sounds like because there are so many indie games that are operating in this space where like an Elekhead or something where it's like, and that's more platform based, but the people have these specific sort of hooks or gimmicks that they're adding to these kinds of games.
It's totally, if you played you expect playing this style of game now for there to be like it to keep ratcheting up with the new little wrinkles and mechanics and things that it's adding, so that by the end it's like gotten completely off the wall with what it's throwing at you. And this feels like it has maybe like three, you know, levels to
escalation.
It's like, okay, platforms, grabbing a thing and that's it.
And they they escalate, but they don't get challenging, really.
Yeah.
And then the expert levels or whatever they call them are more so, but even then it's pretty fucking straightforward.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not particularly fun is
good,
the thing. It's
good,
just
maybe like kids one, like introduction to this style of game.
Yeah.
It goes on, you know, if you can get it on sale or used, but
the Game Boy Donkey Kong one is great.
Yeah,
I would recommend people go play that. That's like legit one of my favorites of all time. I loved that game when I was a kid.
Get yourself a SNES, get yourself a Super Game Boy.
Oh, now you're talking.
The original Switch.
is just a bit just a flat version of that. It's just not there's none of the sort of spark there.
Yeah,
as an example of a comparison between the two, in Donkey Kong, in each level, and it's the same in this, that there are three little bits that you can grab for like a star
to 100% the level. Yeah.
So in the Game Boy one, it's like an umbrella and a handbag and a hat or something like that. Well, or like around
spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch.
Kong's kidnapped Pauline, and it's like, I think it's meant to be like things that she's dropped, like her items.
Oh, yeah.
And in this, it's just a red, yellow, and blue little present. right. that don't mean anything. Yeah, and it's just, yeah. that's the difference between
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah, like yeah. the whole conceit of, yeah, Mario running a toy factory is kind of cool, but it's just all a bit, yeah, it's just lacking that sort of pizzazz.
This right. only happened once, but it annoyed me enough that I'm going to bring it up.
Okay.
The little mini Marios, the little toys, mm-hmm. when you're in the levels with them, if they go off the screen, which on a couple of them they have to, so you can go somewhere else to set something up to come back and get them, they'll go, Mario, come back, Mario. And I hated the sound of that.
It sounds like if you, like, I don't know, it's a different kind of game, but like, again, if you're thinking of a kid friendly version of, like, Mario Wonder is that it has a level of puzzle solving and, you know, like the on off switches and, you know, the stuff that's in the Mario platformers now, where it also was easy. Yeah. It sounds like this was probably easier still.
It's easy in a different way, though. Yeah. Where, like, you could die probably more easily in this, but it's also very easy to see what you're meant to do once you know how to do it. But the controls are stiff and awkward enough that I don't know, like, it might not be fun for someone who has a harder time adapting to that difference that feels quite unnatural.
Yeah,
right. I think that's a big part of it, too, is, like, coming off the back of Wonder, which the... you know, the presentation, the design of it and everything was so beautiful and interesting, and kind of in my head viewing that as like, that's the new normal. That's now that they've done that, that should be the default forward. And then it just feels like such a, like a low, like knowing that they're capable of that. And I know they're different teams and everything, but and you know, this is something that's been not rushed out, but you know, it's a remaster, as we're talking about. Yeah, they're saving their eggs for, they're saving their real creativity for the launch lineup of the new thing, and this is just something to, you know, fill out the schedule. I get it, but like, seeing what they're capable of a few months ago for me makes this kind of just flop a little bit harder.
Yeah,
that's an oxymoron. Flopping hard.
Thank you.
How much
You've not
was
seen me jump off a diving board?
This would have been like, this would be like a $50 or something.
Great question.
Situation.
Yeah, I think it's 70 or 80. It might be 70.
Okay.
70, I think it's 69.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Right.
It's not worth it.
No, doesn't sound like it. Yeah. Like, doesn't sound like it would necessarily be worth it at 20.
I honestly don't recommend playing it. Like, it's just not very fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got that from the review. No, that's a shame.
It is, like, it's relaxing. Yeah. Like, when I was sitting down playing it, I was just kind of, in bed, just kind of breezing through a bit of it.
Yeah.
But certainly, not having a bad time, but certainly hitting a point after... you know, not feeling myself like compelled to sit up until 1 a.m. to see what new puzzles it was going to throw at me. Just okay, I've done a world, that'll do me.
And the new puzzles and the updated graphics don't justify this existing beyond them putting the Game Boy Advance game on the Switch.
That,
online
no,
stuff.
100%. That's that's the big...
Yeah. Like Mario RPG, even though it was the same game exactly... the how dressed up it was added something to it.
Yeah, and also I always defend a remake or a port if you can play it now having no attachment to the original, and it's not your nostalgia that's getting you through. If it holds up as a fun game to play in a modern context without needing fixing or tweaks, like I felt that way about Mario RPG, I felt that way about Link's Awakening, and this just isn't up to that. Nah. This just isn't up to that level. I think you could get that out of the 94 Donkey Kong. Absolutely. Right. If they just put some, if they did a beautiful, recoding of that. Because that's the other thing too. This already, when it came out on the GBA, was doing that sort of
the rendered
sort of
3D
look.
Looking,
so it more just looks like a high def version of that.
Right.
Rather than if you were taking... you know, Game Boy graphics, obviously you've got to completely retool them.
Yes. Yeah.
If it was that game, I would feel like, this is fine. This holds up. You can show this to someone who's never played it and they're going to have a good time. I just don't think that's, this doesn't adhere to that.
This is
standard.
A pretty like unusually uncreative game for a like Nintendo thing.
There's better ways to relax.
Sure.
And I'd love to hear about some of them.
Right. Well, I can tell you a way to be not so much relax, but have like a short, enjoyably stressful trying to be experience.
Okay, I'll take that.
I played a game that cost like $1.90 something.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah, the economy of this one's going to, I feel like, be good.
It's only about 15 to 20 minutes technically.
I take it back.
But yeah, I think it's like $1 US on itch.io.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
It's called Buckshot Roulette. And it's a cool little game made by one person whose name I forget.
Mike Brazil.
It probably isn't that I'm learning.
Nigel Japan.
it's similar sort of style to something like Inscription. It's a game of roulette with a buckshot shotgun.
Okay.
But you are sitting across from this like evil looking mask person upstairs at like a grungy nightclub.
Okay.
And you're sitting there with like the nightclub music playing through the door, which sounds so fucking cool during this.
Right.
It's such a great backdrop to like having this like boom, 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 while you're playing this like gross, dirty game of roulette where you have a certain number of little health symbols, little electricity bolts on a screen, and you're hooked up to like a, what do you call it? The shock machine.
Oh, an ECG? Electrocardiogram?
Defibrillator. Something like that where like, you have to win a certain number of rounds of roulette, but with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Because with Russian roulette, there's six holes that it could be. But with a shotgun, it just shoots.
Now, let's get to the explanation that I was very clearly going to give. Excuse me, I'm 10 minutes into this movie. What's this about, cunt? So you are sitting across from him. You take turns. Yours is always like the first go. And you will be given a number of like random items that will allow you to figure out what shells are in the gun, maybe. So every round, you see a set of red and blue cartridges, reds being live ones, blues being, you know,
spent
empty rounds. Mm-hmm. They will get put into the gun in a random order. So say you've got three red, three blue. You know that you've got a 50% chance when you pick up the gun, you get to choose either to shoot him or shoot yourself. If you shoot him, he loses a health point. If you shoot yourself with a blank, you get another turn. If you shoot him with a blank, he loses no health and it's his turn.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. So the items that you can pick up are like a beer can will let you chamber the round or whatever it's called. Like knock whatever's in there out.
Yep.
What's that called on a shotgun?
Pump.
Do that. Pump.
Have a pump.
Yeah. Have a little pump.
You can get a pack of cigarettes where if you smoke a cigarette, it'll give you one health point back.
Hey.
You can get handcuffs to handcuff the other guy so he skips his next turn.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a
magnifier. Yeah, this is inscription-y.
It's inscription version of roulette, kind of.
Yeah.
Sick.
There's a magnifying glass that lets you look at what shell is in the chamber currently.
Right, yeah.
There's a knife where you can cut off the end of the shotgun and you'll do double the damage with the next shot.
Ooh.
And
this is good.
Yeah.
There's like one more item maybe that I'm forgetting. But it's all stuff like that.
Right.
And so the sort of main mode of it is you go through three rounds and have to win and then you get a certain amount of money. There's some pills in the bathroom that you wake up in at the start that if you take the pills, it'll give you the option at the end of each set of rounds to do double or nothing and just a high score mode, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's super fun. I really like it. Like, there's just enough with the items to make you feel like you're actually sort of making choices rather than it being random. Like, you've got to keep in your head as well which rounds are still in there.
Yep.
So the more rounds that get added to the shotgun, obviously, the more difficult that is to keep track of. The only real complaint I have with it is that sometimes the AI of the other person who you're playing against will make decisions that don't make sense,
mm-hmm.
which and not in a way that feels
like human.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like it's quite clear what you should be doing at most times. Mm-hmm. Like there is a right and a wrong move often.
Yeah.
And seeing the like opponent go to shoot himself when the only round in there is a live round. It's like, that's not a human mistake. That's just like a strange, seemingly like dice roll that he's lost in the AI or something like that.
Yep.
And I'm not enjoying.
Just like a difficulty thing of like, yeah, we can't make them win all the time, so we got to make them lose.
But
sometimes.
I think it would be more fun if there was an option to just have them always make the right choice, because then it's about you having to account for that and prepare and you know, use your items strategically,
right,
things like that. So I wish, I guess, to solve that, there was just an online two-player mode, which it doesn't have. It's just you versus the AI. And again, this
is recent?
I think so. I think it came out at the end of last year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
So it's not like early access or anything. It's just up on that itch.io. Mm-hmm.
Thing. Yeah,
but
yeah.
That is often the place for chucking out a thing and then maybe it'll get developed more later or become a full-fledged game.
Little prototype or just a, yeah.
But as what it is, for like a couple of bucks, it's really cool.
Yeah, like, it sounds like a really clever idea.
It works well. Mm. Sorry. I get emotional about shooting myself in the face with a... it's like playing the odds in your head of like, okay, well, I've got a, you know, 66% chance of this being a live round, so I'm going to shoot him, or like stacking your items for later on, and it feels great when you feel like you're playing well.
And how does it look?
It's a really cool look. It's like this grungy, pixely, kind of looks like the original Quake or something, just this brown, like yuck looking little back room that you're in at this nightclub. The fucking music being pumping from a nightclub outside of the room works super well.
Mm.
And there's only like two tracks. There's like a normal one that's playing and then one when you're in like a tough situation or something, I believe.
Right.
I want someone to mod this game so it's got the Mario versus Donkey Kong music and send it to you, and then it's just you trying to pick the live round.
I recommend giving it a go.
Cool, yeah. I'm going to give this a nudge.
And it's just such a great starting point for, I would hope. I think it's become kind of popular now to make something a little more fleshed out from it, because it works surprisingly well for, you know, what is a game of just random luck on its surface. But having those items there does give you enough level of strategy that you at least feel like you're playing a game.
Yeah, right. Cool. Buckshot Roulette.
Buckshot Roulette.
Nice.
Nice.
It's cool.
Cool. Well, that's going to do us for another week
that's
of
also
podcasting.
Cool. I love that.
Sorry, I'm just getting prepared for the end of this. There's three live rounds in here. And I'm going to shoot each of us once.
Right.
I think we'll get away with it.
Yep.
thanks for listening, everyone. Pacific Drive is out this week. Give that a go.
The second Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo is out, I think, tomorrow. So I'll play that for next week.
Cool.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I hope Helldivers gets to a point where it becomes easy to play it. I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
Pacific Drive looks cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Get on to filthycasuals.com.au. We've got the YouTube channel, heaps of Let's Plays and one-off videos and stuff on there. Check all that out. Get on the Patreon. Yep. Support the show if you like getting it for free.
You can see Tommy's belt.
You can see my belt. You can see my calves.
Yeah.
As long as we don't get demonetized by YouTube for showing off the belt.
Get a bonus show every week if you get on the Patreon and help us keep the lights on. Yeah. We really appreciate everyone who supports
about
us on there.
A Best Picture nominee tomorrow.
All right.
Very excited.
Thanks for checking all that out. Come see us at the Comedy Festival in Melbourne. And we'll see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Peggy 18.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.